we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio. Walker Wildman here. Sorry, just finished drinking a cup of coffee. Walker Wildman here on the program. Glad to be with you. And on a funny note, I was with somebody earlier. We were recording a video, and we were mid-video, and they had to cough. So they had to hold it in for like 2 minutes. It was brutal to watch. But I told them, I said, try doing live radio. Like that was it was a pre-record. So we could have done another cut if we needed to. But I told them, try doing live radio and not having any guests and no clips on standby. And then you have to cough. So sometimes you got to do what you got to do. But good to be with you today on the program. It's our Monday edition. We've got a great lineup of guests, 3 guests, 1 in each segment. And so we're going to jump to that here shortly, jump to our guest. But before we do, let's turn our attention to the scripture. Proverbs chapter 4 is where we are this week. Verse 19 is what I want to point out. This is a pretty lengthy chapter considering when you compare it to other Proverbs. But verse 19, listen to this. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. And when you look at our culture today, whether it's some of the political issues, cultural issues, or economic issues, and you wonder, you know, how on earth can people support such? Well, they know not over what they stumble. So a lot of this is just spiritual blindness. It is true that there are wicked people who knowingly do wicked, and they'll, you know, acknowledge that they're doing wicked, which is a whole other level of evil. But there are some people that are just blinded. They're just blinded, and they don't know what they're doing. And they're unfortunately a tool of the enemy. So that's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. All right, let's jump to our guest so we make sure we pack in as much as we can. Adam Schwind is with us now. He's a Western Regional Director of State Affairs for Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America, formerly Susan B. Anthony List. And he's with us now to talk about the Supreme Court race in Wisconsin. All right, Adam, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. So I got to admit, up till a couple weeks ago, this wasn't on my radar. And then I went to a meeting at the White House, and they were talking about how, you know, some of the Trump campaign was on the ground in Wisconsin trying to help out there because of the implications here, broadly speaking, of this state Supreme Court race in Wisconsin. So so here we are trying to cover it the most we can. We talked about it a little bit last week. But Adam, bring us up to speed. What's at stake with this state Supreme Court race that's on the ballot tomorrow in Wisconsin?
Sure. Well, first of all, we want to give deference to our friends in Wisconsin. They're the ones who get affected by this the most, of course. You've got at least two court decisions coming up that involve the life issue on whether there is a right to abortion in the in the Constitution of Wisconsin. So certainly that is what the folks in Wisconsin are dealing with. Right now, the court divide is just one vote towards the liberal side. The person who's retiring is one of the liberals, so this could mean bringing a conservative majority back to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And so that is incredibly important to our friends, to our brothers and sisters in Wisconsin, but we cannot overlook the national implications of what this is, because we most certainly will see in Wisconsin another challenge to their redistricting congressional maps. And if we see a Susan Crawford, a liberal Susan Crawford Supreme Court, we would not be surprised if it ends up costing Republicans a couple of seats in the House of Representatives. And if listeners are familiar with the current situation in the House of Representatives, losing a couple of seats could mean the difference between a Speaker Mike Johnson and a Speaker Hakeem Jeffries, which would absolutely end any hope of the Trump agenda moving forward. So this really, really does have massive national implications, far above and beyond what our friends in Wisconsin have to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're talking to Susan B. Anthony List, or Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, spokesperson and representative Adam Swin. He's over the Western region for the organization, covering state affairs. And we're talking about this Wisconsin state Supreme Court election coming up tomorrow. And iVoterGuide has covered this, for those wondering. iVoterGuide covers all kinds of elections, which is a breakoff of American Family Association here. And the only reason I bring that up, one of the main reasons, is to show you what these ratings are. Susan Crawford, the liberal running for the state Supreme Court, is a proven activist, which is the most far left radical rating you can get at iVoterGuide. There's nothing farther left on the gauge. Brad Schimmel, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, is a proven originalist, or a proven constitutionalist, which is the farthest right-leaning, conservative-leaning rating that iVoterGuide gives. So basically my point is that these two candidates for the state Supreme Court are so far apart. I mean, it's not even close. They're so far apart. The implications are so broad. But Adam, to your point about the national implications, and I don't want to kind of overlook the state implications, because clearly that's going to affect people on the ground the most in Wisconsin. But I believe the left wants to use this as a see gotcha. President Trump isn't really that popular. The conservative momentum is really not that great. And the election was overrated in 2024. I think that's going to be a lot of the talking points of the left, should the liberal candidate prevail. But Lord willing, that's not going to happen. Adam, what are you hearing on the ground about how tight this is?
Well, all the polls that we have seen show it within a few points, maybe. Certainly within the margin of error. And really, that could really mean the difference on so many things. This is going to be an incredibly close election, and you're absolutely right. I think the other side wants to use this as a way to take down the president. If you want to get a group of people out to vote, get them angry. And right now, the other side is remarkably angry. They got shellacked in the last election, and they are incredibly upset about that. And so they're using that to build up momentum to get their people, to turn their people out of the polls. What we found in some places is that our people still feel like they've won, that all of the great stuff that's coming, there's just so much winning happening.
I know.
But the reality is that you can't just win one election and just think, well, we did it. We saved America. We're good now. We have to continue to come out to these elections that maybe some people aren't really paying attention to. Everybody comes out to the presidential election. A lot of people come out to the congressional elections and the midterms. But these state Supreme Court races, or your local elections, or your school board elections, those are the elections that affect your life at a very, very personal way. We cannot sleep on these, because the other side absolutely isn't.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And to your point about the kind of the mood, the we won mood, which I understand why people still feel this sense of reprieve, because of how monumental the November election was and is. But my friends, transforming this country back towards anything right, noble, and true is not a one-term job, let me just tell you. This stuff takes time and time and time and energy, and so we got to stay diligent. And so let's just specifically talk to the folks in Wisconsin in the last few minutes we have left here. Voters in Wisconsin, this is on you. The pressure is on, and it's time for you to show up to the polls tomorrow and vote for the conservative constitutionalist candidate for the state Supreme Court. because of what's at stake here. And we have to, Adam, you know this, working in the political realm, when we're talking about monumental changes, these things take time. These things take time. And I know sometimes we get frustrated because it doesn't happen overnight. But our country didn't get to this place that we're in, this pivotal place that we're in a matter of one or two election cycles. This is 40, 50, 70 years in the making. And maybe it's not going to take us that long to get us out, but it's going to take some time.
Absolutely. You know, we lived under the tyranny of the Roe decision for 50 years. We have lived under the remaking of the social structure of the sexual revolution for 70, 80, 90 years. We're not going to be able to remake this in one election and then go home and say, we did it. Good job, brothers and sisters. Yay. Certainly, I think we should celebrate our wins, take a week and wave the flags and congratulate ourselves. But then it's time to get back on the horse and get the fight going, because the other side will not stop. And the devil does not just take his bag and go home when he's beat. He comes right back at you, right? That's the same situation that we're facing here. We can win our elections, and we should fight to win those elections, but know there's another election just right around the corner, and often it's sooner than we expect.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, once again, we've had with us Adam Swin. He's Western Regional Director for State Affairs, or of State Affairs, at Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. Adam, tell our folks how to check out your website and read more about your work.
Sure. Come to sbaprolife.org. There's a lot of information about the work that we do. We are the largest pro-life political advocacy organization in the country with a network of about 1 million people. So we do this all the time, 365 days a year, protecting the unborn protecting unborn children and giving hope and support to women who find themselves in awful situations. So come check us out, sbaprolife.org.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate you coming on the program.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's Adam Swin, Western Regional Director of State Affairs for Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America. Folks in Wisconsin, if you're listening to me, we do have several stations there. This is very, very important. Very, very important for you to turn out for this election tomorrow, April 1st, in the state of Wisconsin. And there are elections or other special elections and primary elections around the country tomorrow. So check out that. And I did want to remind you that iVoterGuide.com, which is a division of AFA Action, which is affiliated with what the network you're listening to, American Family Radio and American Family Association, we are covering that election. We're covering other elections in Wisconsin, but we are specifically covering this Supreme Court race in Wisconsin. So go over to iVoterGuide.com. If you live in Wisconsin, go over to iVoterGuide.com, key in your address, and we will pull up your personalized ballot, which will include this election between Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel there in the state of Wisconsin. And this will tilt the balance of the court. So with this retirement in place, the court's basically a 50-50 split, 3-3. The winner will tilt it one way or the other with the fourth vote on the court. It's from an ideological breakdown. So this is very, very important for folks in Wisconsin. Obviously, as Adam mentioned, there are several issues now pending before the court that the court's going to rule on. And more broadly, this kind of is the first test as to whether the public is satisfied with the Trump presidency, satisfied with a conservative direction for the country. So there's a lot of implications here, but if you're in Wisconsin, the important thing to do is to vote your values. iVoterGuide.com has all the information you need for those living in Wisconsin. And we've got some races going on, elections going on in Florida tomorrow with some special elections there. So iVoterGuide.com has all the information. We'll keep covering this. We'll bring you the results tomorrow evening or Wednesday. Whenever we get those, we'll be back in a few. Share-a-thon is coming up, and it occurred to me the other day, we've probably had Share-a-thon longer than I've been alive. Some of my first memories are of causing ruckus in Share-a-thon Central, and for many years I have seen some of the same volunteers from all those years ago coming back and taking calls to help support the ministry.
Spring Share-a-thon is coming April 8th through 10th. And it's your chance to partner with American Family Radio.
Some years back, I realized Share-a-thon is not just a childhood memory for me, but it's an integral part of the ongoing ministry of AFR. Some people might not remember Share-a-thons as far back as I do, but most of our ministry partners have realized the importance of Share-a-thon for funding this ministry. And now, after all these years, I'm actually on the air as well as behind the scenes at AFR. And Share-a-thon is much more than just a place to play. But it's still a lot of fun.
Be listening April 8th through 10th for Spring Share-a-thon on American Family Radio.
At the Core podcasts are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to The Core here on American Family Radio. Walker Wildman here with you on today's program. It's good to be with you live here on AFR. We would love for you listening to the program now and those who listen throughout the week to subscribe to the podcast. We upload the show in the form of a podcast each and every day. And so we would appreciate you subscribing to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. You can simply type in the name of the show, At the Core, and click the subscribe button. And whether Rick's hosting or I'm hosting and we have all these great guests that we line up, all of that content will be queued up in your library when you subscribe to the podcast. We've also got the video up at stream.afa.net and on Facebook, on At the Core's Facebook page. And we do actually live stream on X as well through the AFR handle. So a lot of ways for you to keep up and watch the program. If you're watching today and you're wondering what on earth happened to Walker's face, and now I've just triggered more viewers than we would otherwise have. We were playing March Madness pickup basketball last week, Bobby, and boy did I take a fall.
Some people take it to heart.
Yeah, well I took
they
it to the face.
You just can't get it out of them. That's what happens when you're young.
Well, I was acting like I was in high school, and I'm not.
Exactly.
And, yeah, totally.
That was a great pass, though.
Yeah, it was a good pass, and I think we would have won had I been able to complete the game. But I completely lost my footing and then got tripped midair, and it did not go very well.
People were fired. It was not pretty.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what's going on with me, but I'm all well. Could have been worse, and we had a fun time. Thanks so much for joining us today on the program. Once again, Walker Wildman here. One thing I wanted to mention, a couple events before we jump to our guest. We have the Activate Summit coming up in June, the 12th through the 14th. And we would love for you to join us June 12th through the 14th for our Activate Summit 2025. Our theme is Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture. And registration is open now through mid-April. So if you want to register, go ahead and do so now by going to activate.afa.net, activate.afa.net. We also have several other events coming up, one in the fall, actually two in the fall. We're going back to the Ark Encounter in the Creation Museum with AFA at the Ark, October 30th and 31st. All of these events are uploaded at afa.net/events, so you can check those out. Do you want to jump straight to our next guest? We have on with us Nebraska Attorney General Mike Hilgers. He's on with us now to talk about a couple news items that his office has been working on in the last 6 to 12 months. Nebraska Attorney General Mike Hilgers, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. How you doing today?
Doing well, doing well. Glad to have you on. Appreciate your time. The first thing, just to jump straight into some of the things your office has been working on as you're representing the state of Nebraska as the Attorney General, is your case against TikTok. And this is kind of died out of the news cycle, so to speak, after the election. But it was very hot and heavy late last year, and I think is still a very, very important topic, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with the sale of it. But tell us what your office has done regarding TikTok, and also give us some of the issues with it, the dangers with it, as it relates to children.
Yeah. So that's what we've done on TikTok is we filed one of the largest consumer protection suits in the state's history, maybe the largest against TikTok. But let me take a step back and sort of explain to you some of the background. I think everyone sort of knows instinctively, especially if they're a parent, and I've got four little kids, that social media, but also smartphones in general, are doing something to our children. And whether you read any research or anything else, you know that probably in many cases, it's doing something and something negative to kids. If you've read the book, and I couldn't recommend it more highly, The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt, it goes through the data and it makes an extraordinarily compelling case that smart and in conjunction with social media are really having a tremendous negative impact on children. And in really two respects. The first respect is by putting kids all online in these social spaces, it actually increases a lot of the mental health issues that especially young girls are having. But then also the second respect is by putting people more in line, online, encouraging them to be online and really not being offline, playing outside, spending time, you know, on the teeter totter or playing tag or having all those things that we had growing up, that's actually having a significant other impact on mental health, especially with boys. And so as I started to look into this as Attorney General, we started looking like, what are the impacts that these social media companies are having? And what we found at TikTok in particular was absolutely outrageous. Just to give you a flavor, we had some of our investigators create online accounts and they would say, hey, I'm a 12-year-old boy, I'm a 12-year-old girl, and see what happens. And the algorithm on TikTok's site is so powerful that they didn't have to search for anything. They didn't have to type in anything that was inappropriate or anything at all. And the algorithm would spit out videos that were outrageous. And no underage child or any child should have to see. So things that promoted drug use, sexual activity, pornography, but then things that, you know, sort of promoted body dysmorphia or suicidal ideation or how to hide suicide from your parents. The types of things that we saw being driven to young kids in Nebraska were absolutely outrageous. And what we said in our lawsuit is, hey, what TikTok is going around telling parents is that this is safe. This content's not on there. They do everything they can to take that content off. And what we said is, we've seen their documents. What we said is, no, it's not safe. And they know it's not safe, but they're being dishonest. And as a parent, one of the hardest things to do is get good information so I can make good decisions for my children. And what we cannot have are social media sites that are putting this poison in children's minds and not also being honest to the parents when they're doing it. And that's really why we filed the suit that we did, and we're hopeful that it will end to a significant result for Nebraska kids.
So the latest report that I have on this suit goes back to May of 2024, so roughly 10 months ago. What's the latest on? Is this thing still hung up in court? If so, what stage of the lawsuit are you guys in?
Oh, it's a great question. So if you think about the stages of the litigation, in most of these cases, ours, TikTok is not excluded, can take some time, you know, a year, 2 years. Now, we're a pedal to the metal type of office, so we try to push. We try to get to trial quickly. But even under the best of circumstances, you're looking at maybe 18 months. And so there's really two, maybe three stages that are really the most important. The first is, can you get past what's called an initial motion to dismiss? Mm-hmm. The good news is TikTok filed a motion to dismiss and the court ruled with us and denied it. So we're kind of off to the races. Now, the next two are near whenever we get a trial date. So it's not hung up in court. We're following the process. We're hopeful that we'll be the first state to go to trial against TikTok. Probably won't be this year, but we're really hoping for next year, because really we need to see some correction from TikTok, and we need to send a message, and we need to get some relief for kids.
Let me ask you one more question on this, and I do want to move on to the THC / marijuana issue, which you're also engaged in pretty heavily. These platforms, TikTok, and then some of the domestic platforms, Meta and others, the data is abundantly clear that social media is a net harm to minors because of the litany of things you mentioned. Would you say some of these other platforms, these domestic platforms, are just as bad, or is TikTok uniquely bad?
That's a really good question. I think there's certain aspects of TikTok that is uniquely bad. Their algorithm, I think, is one of the most powerful we've seen. But we've sued Meta for what they've done on Instagram. We joined a multi-state coalition suing Meta. There have been other platforms that we've investigated. One, thankfully, that ultimately shut down. That one was called Omegle, which was just terrible. It'd sort of make your skin crawl just to hear some of the stories. So I think a lot of these social media platforms have some of the same problems. But not all of them are bad actors, and some of them are actually trying to put on some safeguards, but it's tough. And TikTok and Meta are not the only two, but they're two that we have sued.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to move on to this THC issue that your office has been working on as of this month, is the latest report out of your office. And that is basically this harmful, marijuana remnant making its way into alleged THC products and the dangers with children coming across some things like that. Just give us maybe start with kind of giving us a little like layperson's perspective or explanation as to this THC, and then you've got the Delta 8, and give us kind of the high level kind of parental notes that we should be concerned about, especially folks that live in Nebraska.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll do my best, because I'll be honest, we have done an incredible deep dive into this. I didn't know. I came as a total layman myself when I started going down this road and started hearing stories of toddlers being hospitalized because they'd have the gummies with Delta 8. So we've done a lot of work as a team over the last year and a half to really get very smart and expert on what is really a very complicated technical and scientific area. But let me just give it a high level. So when you think of marijuana, the thing that makes people high in marijuana is a compound called Delta 9. It's a THC, it's a cannabinoid. And that is what everyone sort of fights over when it comes to marijuana. Does it have Delta 9 or does it not have Delta 9? There are cousins of Delta 9. And you'll see packages that will say reference some of those cousins, like Delta 8. There's also Delta 6 and there's Delta 10. But Delta 8 is sort of the catch-all. Now, Delta 8 in normal plant, say hemp plant, is almost found naturally in minuscule amounts. If you had the ability, and we really don't have the ability, but if you did have the ability commercially to pull out Delta 8 as it naturally exists in, say, a cannabis plant, it would take you 55,000 pounds to have enough Delta 8 to have one lollipop be psychotropic. So what we're seeing is not sort of naturally occurring levels of some compound that's in a plant. What instead we're seeing is a synthetic set of substances. So these companies will take hemp or cannabis that on its own maybe won't do anything bad to you. Even hemp, you can try to smoke it, doesn't have THC in it. And they'll subject it to a number of chemical processes, many of which deal with very toxic compounds that can cause cancer, like solvents and the like. And they will create these synthetic Delta 8s. And the problem with the products that we've seen is really threefold. The first problem is that they're filled, chock filled with synthetic compounds that can cause death, certainly can cause illness, cardiovascular events, can cause mental health breaks, can send people to the hospital. We've seen it. We've heard it. I mentioned to you before, there's problems with little toddlers going to the hospital. That's the first problem. The second problem is these things are dramatically mislabeled. So as an example, I give a lot is I have a 6-year-old son. I have 4 little kids. My youngest is a boy, 6 years old. And I'll tell you, baby, 10 milligrams of synthetic Delta 8 could put him in the hospital, depending on the day. Some of these products that we've tested have 800 milligrams of synthetic Delta 8. And they don't label it that way. They don't say, well, look out, there's a lot of Delta 8, please be very careful. It doesn't, in fact, in many cases, it won't even say it has Delta 8 at all, and then it will have Delta 8. So these things, almost 90% probably across our entire investigation, now we've looked at hundreds of stores, have been completely mislabeled. And it's not just the amount of Delta 8. Some of them actually have marijuana in them, so they have Delta 9. Some of them have heavy metals that will make them sick. A lot of them have a whole host of compounds that no one has ever tested or have any idea what they do to humans. So that is really a second problem. A third problem is that they sell these things in packages that appeal to children. So we have shown side-by-sides on our website where you'll have a Nerds rope package on the one hand, and it will look identical, any kid can have on Halloween. It will look identical to a Nerd rope lookalike that has extraordinarily high levels of Delta 8 THC. And so they're marketed to kids in a totally unsafe environment. So that's just at a very high level.
Yeah.
What the problem is, and when I tell parents, by the way, that just what I told you, people's jaw drops because they assume if you're in a retail establishment and you're buying a product, it's got to be legal. It's got to be healthy. It's got to be appropriate. And the truth is it's none of those things, and it's very dangerous.
Yeah, the whole THC and marijuana topic is almost like the wild, wild west from a legal standpoint now. because some of this stuff has been instituted via constitutional referendum, which that whole process of using referendums for stuff like this is totally against the heart of the referendum process. But there's a lot of questions, and I know here in Mississippi, where we're headquartered out of, we've got stations around the country, but we've got medical, so-called medical marijuana here in Mississippi, but it's like the Wild Wild West because the term medical can be anything. I mean, I can say, you know, I got sore mowing my yard yesterday and then be smoking, you know, a joint in the afternoon because, you know, my back's sore. So it's really problematic, and I appreciate your office taking this on in Nebraska because, I mean, that's what your job is to look out for the residents, for the voters, for the citizens of your state, especially for children. And this is a very, very, I know it's kind of in the weeds, but it's very important and affecting a lot of families and kids. And I appreciate your work. Once again, we've had with us the Nebraska Attorney General, Mike Hilgers. He's been on with us to talk about TikTok and then the problems with THC and this Delta 8 remnant. And Attorney General, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Hey, appreciate you having me. Keep up the good fight.
All right. Thanks so much. That's Nebraska Attorney General on to talk about his litigation against TikTok and against these THC producers in Nebraska. And this, I was reading up, and I've got, Bobby, I've got links to both of these on the rundown that you can link to on the show notes so folks can read up on this. But I was reading up about on the Attorney General's website regarding the THC and this Delta 8. And they're making these gummies and these candies look just like the real thing. And they're on the shelf at the retail store, and people don't, kids may not know that this is THC and not, you know, just regular gummies or whatever brand we're talking about. And so it's very enticing for young people, very problematic. And a lot of the packaging doesn't have any proper labels on it. So it's got to be reined in big time, reined in big time. And then there's the overarching questions about this whole marijuana push and the broad-reaching implications there from a health vantage point. A lot of science is very young on this marijuana topic. So we'll make sure we talk about this more another time when we have the time. We're going into a break. We do have a guest coming up in the last segment. You're going to want to stick around. Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. But after meeting with the counselors at a preborn network clinic who loved and supported her, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chance of life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 on your phone and then say the keyword baby. Or you can donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to the program. Hope you're enjoying the content for today. And we've had a lot of good guests on the program, and we've got one this segment as well. But if you missed our interview in the first and the second, I do want to remind you, we had on Adam Schwind with Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America, in the first segment to talk about the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. That's tomorrow, by the way, tomorrow, April 1st. And in the last segment, we had on the Nebraska Attorney General, Mike Hilgers, to talk about his litigation against TikTok and this harmful marijuana remnant, THC remnant, and how it's making its way into kids' candies in retail stores. So that's a big problem there in Nebraska. And we want to jump over to really hit our third state of the day and talk to Rhonda Thompson. Rhonda's founder and president, Rhonda Thomas. It's been a long day. At least I got the first part right. Rhonda Thomas is with us, founder and president of Atlanta-based Truth in Education. And we're going to talk about a couple different subject matters and some ongoing bills in the state of Georgia. Rhonda, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me today.
Thank you so much. I've got Bobby in studio. He keeps me in check. So sorry to get the last name wrong.
That's fine.
Rhonda, tell us, before we jump into a couple of these topics we wanted to talk to you about, tell us about your organization, Truth in Education.
Oh, great. We are a Christian-based organization, and our main goal is for to educate parents, the community, legislators on really the harmful ideologies in the school and what's taking place, but also to work with parents on options. If should parents decide that they want to try a different alternate form of education, we work on them with them also, and we work with churches. So our main goal, though, is to educate and to inform parents so that they can make the best decisions they can for their children.
Very good. And we wholeheartedly support what you're doing there. And that's why we wanted to highlight the work of the organization and have you weigh in on some news items. The first one that I want to talk about is something you brought to my attention just a little while ago. And that is what's being deemed or called a school safety bill or a school safety legislation is actually much more than that. So tell us about this state bill and some of the problems with it.
This is a bill that, as we know, nationally, there are a lot of mental health bills taking place, and they sometimes show up under names that aren't exactly what's the content of the bill. So this one is HB 268. It's in Georgia. It showed up as a school safety bill because, unfortunately, we did have a school shooting not that long ago. And, of course, we all want our children safe and our schools safe. But what this does is it's built on, believe it or not, an anonymous tip system. Anyone can call in a tip, and those tips are taken seriously. It can be called in by a federal agency, a law enforcement. It can be called in by the public. So you could be mad at your girlfriend and make a call and say that this particular person is a threat to the school. So there's no way to verify it. Data is shared. Once this takes place, the child is immediately pulled from school. He's guilty before proven innocent. They are placed in virtual schooling. And then it begins the process of mandatory behavioral health assessments. And this doesn't just stop with the parent. This includes the family. So the family's investigated. You don't know how far that will go. It could be your job, your church, your associates. And unfortunately, this data, there's no way to remove it. Even if a child is wrongly accused, this data follows them. So that's going to affect their job applications, their colleges, everything that's taking place. It's actually a criminal offense that stays on their records.
Mm. We're talking about a House bill. This is in the state of Georgia, House Bill 268. Mm-hmm. And one thing I want to point out to our listeners that we have all around the country is if this type of legislation gets through the finish line, they'll try to bring it up. The folks pushing this will try to bring it up in other states as well. So the implications are pretty broad here. Which is why we wanted to bring this up. But we're talking to Rhonda Thomas, founder and president of Atlanta-based Truth in Education. Rhonda, obviously, the writers of the bill or the sponsors of the bill, they may have good intentions, but there's a lot of problems that you just brought up. I mean, this is basically an extrajudicial process. Yes. that is there's no accountability, there's no a judge, there's no jury. There's no trial, and it's aimed at, quote, fixing something, right? And you mentioned tragic school shootings, which nobody wants that to happen. But oftentimes, mm-hmm. Rhonda, what we do as a society is we overreact, or we do something in the name of fixing it, fixing the problem, but we actually don't fix the problem. And it sounds like that's what this bill is.
Actually, I agree with you. In fact, the people that are supposed to care for the children are actually the actors that are playing their part in this. So there's a tremendous opportunity for conflicts of interest. There's something else that really bothered us, too. There is a difference between legal guardian and legal custodian. In this bill, they put legal custodian. So DFACS, which is the Department of Family and Children's Services, DJJ, Department of Juvenile Justice, and Department of Behavior can actually become your child's legal guardian through this process. And if the parent does not act appropriately, meaning turn over educational records and the things they need to do, they can be fined. So this is a huge attack on parental rights. It actually doesn't have anything within the bill that says it has to be a credible threat. It does not have an age limit. This goes all the way down to kindergarten. This affects homeschoolers. People don't understand that these types of bills make their way into private schools and homeschooling, because when you involve the law enforcement and the GBI and all these other departments, and someone calls in a threat, then you become part of the system, which means now your data is also being collected. So this is really a huge, huge, I think it's like the 5th, the 4th, the 1st, and the 14th Constitution or amendments are all under attack. Yeah. And so we've just shredded the parental rights also. This is a very serious bill.
It is. Once again, we're talking about House Bill 268 in the state of Georgia that's currently in the legislature. This is, Rhonda, another name for this, I know you've mentioned this, like a Big Brother bill and a mental health bill. It also seems like a minor red flag bill, meaning minor when I'm talking about age, an underage red flag bill where anybody can call in and report a, quote, red flag. And what I've noticed is in Florida did this. There's serious constitutional questions about people's rights here, and you just mentioned them. But what I've noticed about a lot of these tragic school incidents, and once again, we're not, you know, downplaying these tragic school shootings or saying we don't need to do anything. We're just raising legitimate concerns about the supposed fixes that are being proposed here. What I've noticed, Rhonda, is a lot of these incidents, there were varying breakdowns in current rules and procedures where there were serious concerns about the child, you know, there was neglect at home, there was social media posts about threatening to harm people that were not taken seriously by school administrators. And so my point in saying that is that adding another piece of red tape or another regulation on top of all the litany of laws and procedures that we have now isn't necessarily going to fix things.
And you're absolutely right, because you might be surprised to find that the exact approach they're promoting in this bill actually took place in that last shooting and it failed. So this really isn't about school safety. This is about collecting data, controlling, micromanaging our families. This is about, I hate to say it, but I believe there's a lot of tie to a lot of conflicts of interest, because there are going to be so many organizations involved in the care of our children with this. And I don't think parents aren't going to know about this bill until it hits their front door. Yeah. And it's very, very serious. I think it's actually going to add to the childhood, adverse childhood events, because it's going to cause stigmatization. Can you imagine being a child that's 7 years old? You've been labeled a threat. You're found guilty before innocent. They're removing you from your class. You're going to be stigmatized, and you can't get rid of that. So the bullying is going to increase. The fighting is going to increase. And the trauma. Just trauma.
Yeah,
and so
this is right. Yeah, that's right for abuse, to your point. That's right for abuse. And some kids are going to think it's funny to pick on the other kid, and they're going to call in a false tip. And at that point, to your point, the damage is done. I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of, you know, accountability, if any, is going to take place for false reporting. But if, by the time all that kicks in, if it ever does, the damage is already done and the child's already been stigmatized. Rhonda, I want to talk about one or two other things before we let you go. With you working in the education arena when it comes to a policy standpoint, I want to get your thoughts on President Trump doing his best to shutter the federal Department of Education. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts is we're all excited and we are thrilled that he's dismantling the Board of Education, Department of Education. There are some things, however, that aren't going to change at the state level. Mainly what comes through the Department of Education are the grants. And that is going to hopefully stop. But most of what's taking place in the states is a state level issue. So a lot of that is not going to remove. For example, when you have brainwashed children for the past 4 years, unfortunately, just signing an EO is not going to remove what's already the damage, as you said earlier, right? The damage that's already done. These children are already a part of the diversity, equity, inclusion, and the critical race theory. And of course, all that's coming through another program called social emotional learning, which actually is a worldview that's being taught in our schools. So I'm concerned that as excited as we are about what he's doing, I want to encourage parents to know that we can't step back and think this is going to take care of what's happening locally in their schools. It's going to do some great things, but most of these things that are happening, like the bill we're talking about, that's our legislators. That's your state legislators. We are still have to be involved and not step back, because we're all thrilled about what President Trump is doing. He's doing great things, and we're pulling for that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Once again, we're talking to Rhonda Thomas with Truth in Education. But to your point, you know, we talked to a representative from Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America in the first segment. He was noting the sentiment as far as kind of the lackadaisical approach to this Wisconsin election and how people aren't really waking up. And we'll see the results tomorrow. Lord willing, people will wake up. But that dovetails well into your point that a lot of these battles are at the state and local level. And so, yes, it's good what President Trump's doing. We need to be cheerleaders for what President Trump's doing. But that just means there's more control, more say at the state and local level. And parents and people, concerned citizens, don't need to let off the gas, if you will, or take this victorious approach. Instead, we've got to be engaged. And this this legislation you brought to our attention is kind of the first step towards making sure we don't let this bad legislation through the finish line, and that's House Bill 268. Obviously, it's in the legislature. What are you seeing as far as it making its way through both chambers? Has the governor commented on it? What's the latest?
So it was a House bill. It's passed through the House to the Senate. Senate Judiciary Committee did pass it out of committee, so it will be in rules now, and then it'll go for a full floor vote from the Senate. And then in this case, because there were amendments made, they'll need to send it back to the House. But it is very close to passing. With my time at the Capitol, which has been quite a few years, this might be one of the most egregious bills as far as harming our families that I have seen. This actually, part of this was out of a bill, a mental health bill, HB 520, that a lot of people came together and stopped. But they are finding ways of bringing that back in. So this is amazing that a six-year-old could call in a threat on someone. A teacher or a counselor can also do that to a parent or a student. So this is just, you know, as you said, it's ripe for abuse.
Yeah, absolutely. This is House Bill 268, and it needs to be defeated. That's just the bottom line. It needs to be defeated. And the way Rhonda's describing this is that this bill's too bad to fix.
It is.
It's too bad to fix.
Is.
So it's not. We don't just need one amendment to clean it up. This whole idea is poisonous, to be honest. We don't need more government involvement, more regulation, more big brother. We need teachers and administrators to do their jobs, and we need parents to be good parents. Hey, Rhonda.
And we need Republicans to write good bills, don't we?
Exactly. Duly noted. Hey, Rhonda, thanks so much. All right. That's Rhonda Thomas, founder and president of Atlanta-based Truth in Education, talking about the terrible House Bill 268 in Georgia that needs to die on the vine, to use legislative terminology. We'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.